Let us pray. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Enable us to respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And for the scripture, if you would like to read along with me, it's on page 270 in the Pew Bibles. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain him. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord.
I'd just like to invite everyone in the summer months, June, July, and August, following worship, we're having a sermon chat down in the welcome room. Hopefully there'll be some coffee or tea left over. We can sip and chat, and you're invited to join me. It won't be a long period of time, maybe 15 minutes, and we'll have a chance to review the scripture that we just read this morning, maybe some themes from the sermon, and how we apply this story to our lives. So we hope you can join us. Let us pray. Lord, bless us this morning. As we hear your word, may it take root in our hearts and lives. May it grow and produce fruit for the sake of Christ our Savior and his coming kingdom. Amen. According to an old saying, you can't send a boy to do a man's work. Well, God seems to do just that. On more than one occasion, this isn't the only time. In fact, if we were to review God's selections of leaders and prophets, we have to consider that they're kind of curious choices. There's Jacob, and there's Moses, and there's David, and there's Jonah, and there's Jeremiah, and there's Peter, Paul, and Mary. Wait a minute. That's from 1961. We have to go back to AD 4, AD 33, AD 36. Let's say Mary, Peter, and Paul. That's better. They were all called by God. And then way, way back, about 1,000 years B.C., God called a boy, about 12-year-old boy, named Samuel. It's a dark time in the history of God's people. We heard Max read to us, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Eli, the main priest at the temple in Shiloh, was getting old and feeble. He was not a very good priest, although he treated Samuel very well. He had some pretty rotten sons. Back in chapter 2, they call the sons of Eli scoundrels. Scoundrels. They were also, as we heard, blasphemers. So who was going to save the day? It's a 12-year-old boy named Samuel. Samuel had a very faithful mother named Hannah. It was through Hannah's faith that Samuel was placed in the temple to begin with, that she gave her son to God in God's service. We know that Samuel was growing in stature and favor with God and with the people. That very same phrase is used to describe Jesus in the Gospels when he's just a boy. Ancient historians place Samuel at about 12 years of age. Quite evidently, Samuel is not used to hearing the voice of God, nor is Eli, if we pay attention to the narrative. They just don't listen for God. They don't hear God speaking to them. On the other hand, God is speaking now. He's speaking clearly. He's calling Samuel by name. Not one, not two, not three times, but four. Four times the Lord calls, and finally Samuel responds, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And as it turns out, the Lord has a very hard message for Samuel to hear. It's hard because of how it applies to his beloved Eli. Eli had already heard the same foreboding message from a man of God, if we turn back to the previous chapter. But imagine the dynamics of this scene, a 12-year-old boy telling a veteran priest about God's judgment on his life. Not an easy task. God is still choosing people today. I think people that are young, even as young as Samuel. God is still calling people who don't speak well, may even be confused about what the message of God's word is, but God uses them nevertheless. Do you remember back in the Gospels when Jesus calls his disciples? It seems to me that had he really wanted to make an impact, he could have called to follow him a lawyer or a governor or maybe even an emperor. Somebody who had power and influence. But instead, who does he call? Fishermen. Ordinary fishermen. And a tax collector. Most of us who worship in this place are also quite ordinary. This doesn't preclude the possibility that there might be some extraordinary folks among us, maybe a future Olympian, maybe a future senator. Who knows what these graduates will grow up to become? Only God knows. Yet most of us claim no great place in history. We do our jobs, we raise our families, we care for our homes, we go to school, and that takes us through the day. But I want to tell you today that like Samuel, God is calling us too, each of us. God's people have been answering his call for the last 2,000 years at least in the name of Christ. Who is it that teaches the children in our Sunday school here at Kenmar? Ordinary people who do extraordinary work. Who is it who leads the moms group in our church and who leads the women's circles in our church and who leads other adult Bible studies in our church? Ordinary people who do extraordinary work. Who is it that sings in our choir? Who is it that serves on our board of deacons? Who is it that answers the nominating committee's call to serve as an elder? Ordinary people who do extraordinary work. Aren't we all rather ordinary, and do not most of us try to remove ourselves from consideration for doing God's work because we think we're too ordinary? We're nothing special. But that can't be the truth. God chooses us because we are ordinary, because God can then call us and equip us and mold us and make us into the people that God wants us to be. I don't know how you will live your sacred calling in the days of ahead. Maybe you'll start a new ministry right here at Kenmar. Maybe you'll begin a Bible study at work. Maybe you'll give $1 million to some great Christian ministry. Whatever this renewal of God's call means for you, as we hear the story of Samuel today, I pray that it means for you that you know deep in your heart that God wants to use you. Not somebody else, not the person in the pew beside you, not people on our church staff only, but you as well. Finally, I pray that you will confidently feel Christ's own hand, his presence, his comfort, his power, his peace, and that you will be renewed by his strength and filled with his Spirit. Listen. Listen. God is calling you. God is calling me. Amen.